All right, I know we've got a happy hour here, sorry to interrupt. So to help us transition a little bit from, happy hour to the serious worship, I simply want to know, what do you get when you use Zen eggs? When you use Zen eggs? Lit. You would hope these would end, Doc, but you can pray. You should have prayed for it. You had your chance, and you chose not to. This isn't going to get it done. Hey, the price is right. You can't get this stuff out there free. By the way, I did, when I walked in this morning, I was greeted by a few of you thinking it was a miracle that I actually know how to put a tie on. And I appreciate the sentiment, but because it is a season of miracles, it is a Cubs tie. So I'm just saying, Lord, feel free to do the whole shebang. All right, now I want to get to our reading, but believe it or not, Doc, I actually have one last rabbit insight that relates to the reading. Okay. So when the rabbit dated their dream other rabbit, what happened? They lived happily ever after. And you will see that it's basically the same message, but here we go, okay? This, by the way, comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18 from the Common English Bible. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them I'm going up to the one and your one, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. This is the good news.
Happy Easter. And as we know, it is not a day, it is a season. And when I was negotiating with Mike and I was going to call Rebecca, you, Libby. Rebecca, you're always in. Libby, when I was negotiating with Libby and Mike, I said, I want to get here as quickly as possible because I want to lead you through the Lenten into Easter season. The idea being that let us be together, celebrate together a whole liturgical season. Because again, this thing that we're doing, this Christian thing, it's not just a day here and a day there. It's something we do in the everyday. So my first day was Ash Wednesday, so to speak. And as some of us sat very intimately and very quietly in the dark, and we remembered where we come from, whose we are, where we're going. And indeed it is good, but that we're also getting ready to take on this journey. And then that Sunday, which was our first Sunday together, we remembered our baptisms. And you're learning Christianity via either a process theologian or an Illinois salty Midwesterner, right? Where we learn that every day we renew our baptisms because we can splash our face and we can say, oh dear God, I'm awake, thank God, right? So we remember that in the ordinary is the extraordinary, that we, again, are always living in the holy, and that biblical scripture is so clever in using elements of the everyday to remind us that they are indeed extraordinary. So let's remember, I hope today you splashed your face to remember, thank God I'm here and alive. Now, we're going to pretend that the tomb is a laundry basket, speaking of the everyday. When you have ADHD and a clean house, and you just discover new things all the time when you're trying to clean house. This is why I need coffee houses as my coffices, so I will concentrate on my work and not think about things like laundry and laundry baskets. Now, thing about laundry and laundry baskets, and when you live with other family members, have you discovered that everybody has their own way in which they do laundry and at which they think that laundry is done or finished? I don't know. I've lived with some family members through my life, and I've discovered this is so. So maybe when somebody volunteers and says, oh, Mom or Monica, I will do the laundry this week. Okay, great. And then you get the basket. Whoops, you get the basket, and then the clothes are like this in chaos. Is that chaos? Do you see enough chaos? Do you get it? Chaos. And I'm like, well, thanks. Not really helpful. I'll do the laundry. Because when Mom or Monica does it, notice I'm not pinpointing any family member. Okay. And then when I do it, I take time when I'm taking it out of the dryer and I'm putting it in the laundry basket to fold it. Oh, crazy talk. So it seems like people in my family benefit more than I when doing laundry. Let's enter the gospel, shall we? Mary has come to the tomb, and because you have spent your time with Lazarus, you know that she indeed is going. Some people say she's going to anoint him. No, no, no. This is the third day. He's already been anointed. Huh. So she might be going because she already believes that she might discover the gardener. She might be going with anticipation. This is from Stanley Harwas. Do you ever read him, Doc? Doc to Doc? This is a misnomer that we think she's going to go anoint. No, 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 no. She knows he's been anointed. She's going to go see if he's there. So she goes, she appears, and then here's another thing. Somebody took the time to fold the shroud. Remember that little detail? That means, like other writers like to say, Was he stolen? Was the body stolen? Look, if you're going to steal a body or if you're going to do laundry at my house, you're not going to take time to fold. Amen? Right? So this is somebody who was very intentional and didn't feel like they had to rush. I'm alive. I will fold. Okay? Detail. Really cool detail in the text. Then she's there. She sees some folks talking. And then she's like, but wait, he's not there. That's another theological question that gets asked over the years. Why is she crying? Because she thought she would see him. Don't you love that little take? This is a woman of bold faith. She already knows she's supposed to see the risen Christ. So now she's like, well, where is he? He's late. That's just my add-in, midrash. So he's not there. Then another great thing of the text. Again, I want to be with you for each season because it's not just about a day, so that you can learn biblical literature, so you can learn the gardener. Who else is a gardener in Genesis? God, right? And said it was good. So now here we are, because all these folks that are telling the story know the text, because that's the only text they got, our Hebrew text. So we call that special one the gardener. And then, because we're going back to the original Genesis text, she knows it's him when she calls him by name. When he calls her by name, yes. Yes. When Jesus calls Mary Magdalene by name, yes. God called Adam Adam and Eve Eve. They were created in God's image. I hate having smart people in the crowd. Oh, my gosh. Okay, just kidding. So here we are. Here's the miracle. God is there. God calls her by name because Mary and Jesus indeed have an intimate relationship. He has trusted her. She has been in ministry with him since day one. She is the only story. This is the only story that when we ministers look at the schedule for every 3 years, what are we going to preach? This text is in it. And if that's not enough to know that God loves women, every gospel has the gospel where who's the first to tell the good news? Homegirl, let it be said. Homegirl. Or maybe I'll up a little bit, say women. Yes. Because in the other gospels, it's not just Mary Magdalene. There's some more women. Mary, Joanne, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We got a whole concophony of women. But in this case, it's Mary Magdalene. Isn't it funny that a few weeks ago, Saddleback made the news because they ordained a woman and then the Southern Baptists got mad at them? Isn't that fun? Let's have a good laugh, right? Because I look at texts like this and I'm like, women and ordination, women were called by God to tell the good news, to be the first ones to say it. And to this day, an astounding statistic, only 11% of clergy are women in America. Well, they don't get to serve Fairview. So but what? And here we're in this intimate moment. The gardener calls Jesus, or Mary, and says, why are you weeping? I'm right here. Another thing we learned 3 years ago, we love having Easter and being with so many people. I love this, right? But three years ago, we were reminded, indeed, that the gospel is the gospel of John. It's intimate. It's quiet. 3 years ago, we were in rooms by ourselves. We ministers were on a camera in a very small room to be able to tell the gospel. But one of my clergy women friends said, but this is how we're to think about the gospel. It starts out in a quiet room, a cave. And in fact, we have to remember, there was fear. Jesus just got killed. He just got executed by the most important empire on the planet, Rome. So as part of our journey, on Thursday, a small group of us got together again in this quiet space right here and sat in a circle and remembered how Jesus took the feet and took the lives of his disciples and took time to wash their hands. But they did it in a quiet room because they were fearful that they too would die. 3 years ago, when we were doing this sermon, we were fearful. We were scared. We were in the tomb not knowing when we were going to come out. And now you think about it, 3 years ago on this date, we were only 3 weeks into it. What we didn't know and what we know now. So that makes me say we can indeed rise up. And we can rise up in faith and have courage. Because as the civil rights activists that I used to interview and talk to and go, how did you do what you do? Well, all they could do is kill us, right? They can't take God away from us. I know, and that's them, not me. But you get the point, right? We've lived through COVID and all the ugliness and all the mourning and all the losses, and we get to truly rise up and be new again. So now here's the part. Mary has come. She has seen, and now Jesus says, go. Because now we're to the part where it was quiet and in the tomb, and then she says, teacher, and grabs him, or gently, you know, takes him, and he's like, no, don't touch. I'm going. Hey, homegirl, you got this. I have given you good material. It's time for you to go out. Rise up, run and tell people about me. Tell the world how I've changed the world. Tell the world how I bring hope and healing to a lost and lonely group of folks, which is the planet, amen? I have faith in you, each one of you. So, she does! And that's the gospel. But you know what? It continues today. So what, right? There are no problems. The world, we got it all together. We do not, do we? So back on that point where I'm thinking about women right now and ministry and, well, I'm thinking about all of God's children. There's a church in Illinois that was asked to be a new church plant. Not far, well, actually where Jim and I used to live in Bloomington Normal. This church is on the Bloomington side. The pastor there, 8 years ago, was sent by the bishop to start a new church start. We know that in Bloomington Normal that there are lots of 20-somethings. You have two universities, Illinois State University, and Illinois Wesleyan University. So there's a lot of young people. And there's this little insurance company called State Farm. So some people actually stay there and live. So she did what she was asked to do. It just so happens 20-somethings have never been in the closet, so the church happens to be really queer. She did everything she was asked. During COVID, because they stepped into it with technology, the church got up to 250 people from all over. Yes, they're 20-something, and they're queer. And they've been renting space from a lovely man who owns a bank. And the other side is a bank. This side, the sanctuary. They call it the banktuary. Been there for 5 years plus. But something that we in politics are all too aware of right now, the evil side, the ugly side, is coming up with things that aren't really why to get people pushed out of office. Amen? Or to keep them from speaking. Amen? So what has happened here is somebody complained to the city of Bloomington that they evidently didn't have a fixture tuned in right or a something-something. And so that their leasing from the landowner is against city ordinance. The owner, a 60-something very nice man, has been shocked, but he's getting fined thousands of dollars a day. And he's been working with Pastor Jenny to find a place. But this is State Farm country. It's hard to find a place. And her church, her sister churches are like, oh, you can use our basement. You can use the gymnasium. Yeah. No, she wants the sanctuary. Darn it, right? I hope, turn off if you're from Illinois. Okay, so this intimate moment, Mary, the angels, and the gardener. Just a few people changing the world. Jenny's telling me the story. They're homeless as of tomorrow. They have to leave. So fortunately, corporate America stepped up. They're going to live in Eastland Mall for 6 months, live in the local mall at MC Sports. That'll be great for a short time. But she is homeless now. So I just thought, you know, Washington State, I helped get marriage equality, and I had an organization called the Religious Coalition for Equality. I got to work, since we were interfaith, with the Jewish folks, Christian folks, activists. So I called up two of those activists, and I said, we need to raise $50,000 so we can help out my friend and we can help out the queers and dears. They're like, let's meet next week. So three of us are going to help save this church in 2023. And if any of you want to give too, that's fine. I'm not going to say no. But my point is, my only point in this story is, one, they're still ugly, 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 ugly. I don't even know what to call it. It's worse than discrimination. Bigotry. There's still ugly bigotry in the name of God. So what do? We are an Easter people. We rise up and we say, no, that is not God. We are God, and we are not fearful. We are fearless. And in the name of God, we're going to do a little something something. We're going to move a little furniture. We're going to welcome all people. We're going to change our signage so all people know that we welcome them. And then I'm going to organize some Jewish folks and some queer folks to show the Christians this is what Christian community is about. That is what it means to walk the walk and talk the talk. Our teacher may have left us, but our teacher has trusts in us because we are an Easter people. So my friends, happy Easter as you are. And may we now, on that note, fill up what was once empty like a laundry basket and make full with beautiful colors. So I hear the tradition is we fill up the cross, right? So let us, in this moment, fill up the cross with our many true colors.